Hello and welcome to the Freaking Awesome Podcast. It is Wednesday, October 31st, 2018. I'm Benjamin Abaya, and joining me today is my ghoulishly and best twin brother, John Abaya.
Hey, you're not my wife. What happened to my wife? What is going on here? What happened?
Your wife is probably buried.
Buried?
In probably house chores.
Wait, what? No. We don't do that.
Taking care of your children.
House chores? What are you talking about? This is a 1950? No. She's actually watching, what's that thing? It's a guy and a dog and they love cheese. Oh, God. They're claymations. Gromis and Gromit?
No, I know the listeners are like, oh, it's this one. Let's just say Gumby.
Gumby, yes. Gumby and the horse. Do you know the horse name?
Pokey.
Gumby. Pokey. They're watching Gumby and Pokey.
Yeah.
But we haven't had you in a long time. What happened?
Well, life has happened. Uh-huh. Like in Jurassic Park, life finds a way.
Uh-huh.
So I am now in officially in your club of husbands and wives.
Wait, there's a club for that? I didn't even know there was a club.
Yeah, I'm married to you and Audrey now.
Oh, cool. That's a cool club, I guess.
Yeah.
Can you just find someone else and just marry that person?
I will. Okay. I did actually.
Okay.
So now I do. Now I actually.
I
now
do that. I hope that that's what you said. I do.
Yeah, I did do. I do do.
No, do, no. Did, hope do. You didn't say that.
Yeah. So I'm married now, and now I could actually say.
I'm still married now.
Huh?
I'm still married now. That's the way you said it.
I'm so married now. Yeah. Oh, I am married now. To my lovely wife. Well, I was gonna say like my life, because I have that one song. All the time I listen to the episodes you're hosting is you always say, my life, my wife.
Oh, yeah, my sunshine, yeah.
Yeah.
And oh, congratulations.
A wonderful best man speech in our reception.
You want me to do that right now?
No. It has a lot of reference to loss and video games and the little accidents I did with you.
Mm.
Yeah.
You found your constant.
Yes.
Yes.
Which is my wife. My wife.
Your penny.
Yes. Anyway, if you're new to the podcast, we usually discuss and give our impressions on what we watched, listened, played, or read throughout the week, and we conclude the episode with a main discussion. This week's main discussion is the Netflix original series, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. That's my scary voice.
Your Salem voice from the
sitcom, my Salem original voice. Sitcom. Before that, John, we do have a trailer talk. This week's trailer talk is Clara's ghost.
If there's someone here with us, please make a noise. Any noise will do.
Oh. What? Oh, God! Did you hear that?
Something's with us.
Do you know anything about the woman who lived in this house?
She was the crazy one, right?
Crazy how?
They sent her to a mental institution.
I've been seeing this woman around. She seems to go wherever I go.
Maybe you guys could be friends.
I think that would be weird at this point.
Let me in.
Oh, God. Please tell me it's not sending you poetry on Facebook.
They're all making fun of you! Stop making fun of me!
That is a clip from Clara's Ghosts. You can watch that now on YouTube. This is IMDb plot synopsis. Set over the course of a single evening in the Reynolds family home in suburban Connecticut, Clara's ghost tells the story of Clara Reynolds, who, fed up with constant ripping from her self-absorbed showbiz family, finds solace in the guidance from a supernatural force she believes is haunting her. The film is written and directed by Breedy Elliott, the daughter of Chris and Abby Elliott, starring Paula Norton Elliott, Chris Elliott, uh-huh. Abby Elliott,
uh-huh.
Brody Elliott, uh-huh. and Haley Joel Osborne.
Wait. He's not Elliott. You mean Haley Joel Osborne Elliott?
Osborne Elliott? Yeah, no. Yeah. Anyway, John, what's your thoughts of Clara's Ghost?
So when you showed me this trailer, I didn't know what I was expecting. The production is that old production company, the Orion? I don't know how you say that name. It's the title.
The old
card.
Company Orion. I think it's Orion.
Yeah, but they call it Orion Classic. So I don't know if someone just bought the company and then using that name brand. You know, they it, you always have that name brand in a nostalgic way now. Like, you don't see that name brand at all. I don't know. I know I've seen a movie with that showing up, the production company.
I think it's RoboCop.
Probably, yes, yes. It's more famous for that one. But
I feel like it's like the 80s, 90s horror movies that probably have that. Yeah.
So when I saw that, I was like, oh, this it will have this cool little style. And it does. It has... It seems like it's shot in this 4:5 aspect ratio. I don't really know the techno term. I hope I'm saying that right. It's not the traditional, or not traditional, but the now, what do you call the new format?
16:9?
Yeah, 16:9. So it looks more like a square, and it's shot in a way, looks very old, like in the 80s and 90s, and...
like a video camera.
Yes, a video camera. That's exactly how it feels like. With no... grainy or anything. I mean, it has that, like, it lost some what do you call that? Oh god.
Artifact.
Yes. And but yeah, it has that style, and the trailer starts off like a comedy, but pretty fast it looks more like a drama, and then something's happening and stuff, but it still maintains that comedy, only because the whole family of Elliot's known for SNL and whatnot are in this movie, so I can expect comedy.
Well, mostly, but Chris Elliott.
Chris Elliott and Abby. Abby was SNL too for a while.
Oh yeah, you're right. Yeah,
like Chris Elliott.
For those who don't know, he's like a writer, I believe.
But yeah, it looks interesting. I would watch this whenever it comes out. But the premise seems like your typical like ghost story. But I want to see more. Like, the trailer felt more like a teaser more than anything than an actual like the full-fledged what's happening in the actual movie. But yeah, it got my interest peaked.
So yeah, it did also get my interest peaked. it is also giving like a unique perspective in this genre. I feel like so many people sort of the past 5 years have inputted like their own sort of sensibility in this genre, and this one also allows it to be like quirky and maybe have this family dynamic that's going to be more significant when it comes to family. I don't know. It's just the way the trailer is cut. It seems like something about family, not in the sense of like Hereditary, like the film, but more in a quirky matter.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But while being sort of terrifying, like there are some scenes here where I'm thinking like, what is actually going to happen? Because there's blood in the scene and, you know, people being possessed, it seems like. But as for the concept and how they're executing, it's also unique because it is using the Elliott family, and this is like their endeavor of making this film. They wrote it and directed it, but basically Brittle Elliott. I'm assuming she's the youngest one in the family. But yeah, and it's like, you know, it looks cool. I mean, for like you said, for the aspect ratio and just how it looks like an old school film, it looks interesting for what they're going for, especially the execution and the concept. It's actually surprising to see Haley Joel Osment in there, ironically, just because he's well known for another ghostly film about seeing ghosts. So it's the irony of it all, and I think they intentionally did that where they hired him to, and he's a good actor.
You think he'll save his famous lines in this movie?
Maybe. I feel like they might be saving that for this. For
that
this
or instance. Someone will ask him, like, do you see dead people? I was like, no.
It has been 20 years now since that famous line.
Wow. I feel old.
About 20 years. I'm assuming it's probably came out early 2000s, probably 2000 now.
So I can't,
it's about a couple years.
Yeah. I can't wait when we watch Glass this next year. Or is it coming out this year?
This year, sometime this year.
And then they show Haley Osment character show up, and he's a hero, superhero too. That you can see dead people.
I can't see that. I can't wait for that too.
And you see,
but
what's
that
his
is
name?
Out. No, right? What was it?
The guy from Lady in the Water. I forgot his name. The really good character.
Paul Giamatti.
Yes, he shows up too.
Yeah, he could be on it too. And then what? Do you want
Joaquin Phoenix?
Joaquin
Phoenix. That'd be awesome. He has his little baseball bat and water cup next to him. Oh.
Yeah. And then the kid from Avatar.
I guess that's just part of the Breaking Bad, Unbreakable universe.
Yeah. But yeah, the film is out in December. It looks like it might be opening wide or even on VOD. So I might catch that. I'm a fan of the Elliots, so
keep up for that.
Yeah. John, what have you also been doing this past week celebrating this ghoulish evening?
So going from one haunted film to a more haunted house, I guess you could say, but I've been watching this show. Well, I only watched the first couple episodes of this very neat little 30-minute bite of episode or a show called The Curious Creations of Christine McConnell. I believe I'm saying her name right. So I seen this on my Netflix, list of all the different cues and whatnot. This one showed up under the Food Network, or not Food Network, but the food creation type thing. And it is part P. Herman, I could say, part like they have puppets and whatnot, and part any type of Food Network show that shows you how to cook or how to create things. But I believe this person is either so I did a little research, and she is a professional designer, I could say. She makes clothes, she's like a cosplayer, she makes food, but really unique type of food, mostly in the genre of horror and sci-fi, if you check out like her Instagram or anything about her. But yeah, Christine McConnell, I'm probably saying her name last name wrong, stars in this show, and she has this like house full of broken creatures, you could say. And in the show, in the first couple of episodes, she meets this werewolf creature. I believe his name is Edgar. And and she also has these two other creatures. They're all puppets, I have to remind everyone. Named Rose and I believe Rankle. So Rose is a cat that got hit by something, and she's like, she's dead, and Christine brought her to life. And Rankle is a Egyptian cat. And I don't know what type cat is it, was brought back to life by Christine too. And Edgar is a huge like werewolf creature that's huge puppet, as big as probably like Big Bird in Sesame Street. And they live in this house in which Christine takes care of them by having them learn how not to eat like flesh, basically like human flesh or dead animals, and how to eat like sweets, like cakes and stuff like that. So the whole aspect of the show is that she's in this house and taking care of the creatures. But in the middle of the show, she creates two sweets or like bakes or not bakes, but creates two creations. Mostly they're always sweets like cakes, cookies and whatnot. And yeah, then she shows you how to create it, like your typical cooking show where the camera's above head, camera's face.
That's interesting.
Yeah, face fronting camera in front of her. She's talking to the camera. The cool part is that the creatures think that she's crazy. They're commentating while she's cooking, and she's talking to nothing. Like there's no camera there. So the creatures think she's crazy a little bit, talking to no one, and that's a cool little aspect to it. But there's also a little like subplot in here where the neighbors don't like her because she has all these creatures and monsters living there, and they want her out. And the whole show kind of lessons and the message here is like treat everyone well even though they're different. And I think that's kind of cool. Like the first thing she says like to one of the characters, I'm paraphrasing, is like it doesn't matter what she is or what the creature is. We have to take care of it because it's hurt. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. And the way the message is, but I think my only gripe about the thing is, so I love that it's 30 minutes. So you can just watch it. There's only like, I believe, 6 episodes. And you can watch that in 3 hours and that's it. You're done with the show. But my only gripe is like, you have to know already how to bake and cook. They're not teaching you how to do this. Like you have to have that pre-knowledge of how to, you know, turn an oven and whatnot and all that. Like most cooking shows like that. But you also need to have the tools to... that she uses. So she uses like a spray gun,
a spatula and all that.
Yes. So she uses like a spray gun to color her food. Like no one, ordinary people don't have that. Like you have to really love the craft of cooking food to have those things. And that's my only gripe. Like, it's fun to watch and stuff, but if you're really into it, that's cool. But for me, I'm like, I like what she's cooking. Like, the first couple of episodes, she made a house, a huge house, to the point where she's like, wait for a couple hours for it to dry. It's like, oh, okay. Like, this is a thing where you should already know how to build a house out of a cake, basically. And yeah, that's cool and whatnot. But yeah, what was it?
I was going to say, like, I noticed that in more shows on Netflix are, like, blending, I guess, the lines between, like, reality and fiction. Because it seems like there's a fictional concept, but there's a reality based on, like, the cooking part. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, how does that go well with it? Like, or does it distracting sometimes? Like, oh, you're in and out of it.
What do you mean? The
like knowing that it's a cooking show too, in a way.
Oh, oh, but yes, also yes, there's, yes, yes.
It's a fictional character.
Yes. So, like I mentioned, like, don't come out of the show learning something. Like, you won't be learning how to cook or anything. Yeah, you have to have that pre-knowledge. But it's fun, just the whimsical, like, puppets and stuff and the commentary. It literally feels like Peary's Playhouse, but it's a cooking show. Yeah. And there are guests on the show that will drop by and eat dinner with them. And most of the time, of course, the dinner are desserts.
Are they like celebrity guests?
Not celebrity. I only watched the first two episodes, so I don't know if there's more. But there are guests, like other humans on the show. It's not just a puppet.
Also, like fictional guests.
Yes, 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 yeah. So I don't know if like another actual people come that are guests, like celebrities, are playing characters in the show, but. What I've seen, there's at least one human person that will come on to the house.
What's the name of the show again?
The Curious Creations of Christine McConnell.
Okay. McConnell. So that's on Netflix?
McConnell? It's McConnell. A lot of double letters.
McConnell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all I've been doing this last
week. I'll probably check that out. It sounds interesting, mm-hmm. and it's short, so yes. I can just like turn it on while I'm actually cooking too.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's what I do. Or while I was creating something.
Yeah. Speaking of cooking, well, there's one aspect of cooking that... Oh, there's one thing you need for cooking sometimes. You know what you need, John?
A spoon?
No, a knife. A knife.
Wait. It depends on what you're cooking.
Well, you're not cooking, you're stabbing.
Okay. I have no idea what you're cooking or stabbing.
What I've done is also watch something. And I think you've already talked about this already because the episode came out, is Halloween.
The 2018 Halloween.
The 2018. The one directed by David Gordon Green.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
So you finally watched the movie. You and your wife
have already watched it and going to talk or talked about it already.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on the previous episodes.
Yeah,
I'm assuming. Yeah.
So just listen to that, and that's it. Let's move on.
Yeah, no, I'm not on that episode, but I'm gonna give my impressions about it right now.
Okay.
Anyway, it stars Jamie Lee Curtis, Judy Greer, Andy Matichuk, and Will Patton.
Okay, you said those names way better than I did in the episode.
Oh, well, it's directed by David Gordon Green, and co-written by.
Danny McBride.
Huh?
Danny McBride.
Yeah, Danny McBride, yeah. Which became like a passionate project for these two, which because they were fans of the 1980s version of John Carpenter's Halloween.
1970s version. 1978.
Yeah, 1970s version. 1978, I believe.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
40 years.
Yeah, 40 years. Speaking of 40 years, it's been 4 decades past, and Jamie Lee Curtis' character, Laurie Strode, will finally, you know, confront Mike Myers in this pseudo sequel. I believe the filmmakers, director, and co-writers David Gordon Green and Danny McBride, they said it's like a direct sequel to the original John Carpenter's film, but yet it also pays like homage to like the several sequels that came before that.
Mm-hmm. So in the previous episode, I mentioned it is what Bryan Singer did to Superman with Superman Returns. That's like the best way, right?
Yeah. Where it's a direct line to the original film, but not necessarily a sequel. It's kind of odd.
Nothing to do with the other sequel. Like they will never mention that. You know, like Jamie Curtis was in this or I mean the so they kind of retcon minor spoilers. So like one of the things they did is they retcon that they're not related anymore, like Myers and Jamie Lee,
which was revealed in like Halloween 2, I believe. I haven't watched that in a long time.
So yeah. So what Halloween movies have you seen? This is what we did last
episode. I've watched Halloween, the original Halloween. I just recently revisited that, and then Halloween 2, and then Halloween 3, which
Season of the Witch.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with Mike Myers. No. Then some of Rob Zombie's Halloween. Okay. Like the first one, and that's it.
Okay. So I've seen the most out of us three that we watched, including my wife.
Have you watched 4 and 5? Like
no, so those are the ones I didn't watch. I watched H2O. Didn't watch Resurrection with Busta Rhymes.
I watched H2O and Resurrection.
Yeah. So I know, I believe Resurrection is the one that's a reality show. Like it's a weird...
Yeah, with Busta Rhymes.
Busta Rhymes, yeah. The other one has LL Cool J in H2O. Well,
yeah. That which is means cop. Halloween 20 years after. Yes.
Blood is thicker than water, Ben.
Yeah. You'll be disappointed if it has to do with water because they don't show water at all in that film, I believe.
Wait.
I forget which one showed like a computer, like a CGI Michael Myers mask. I think it's Resurrection that has that.
Wait, are you serious or are you joking around?
H2O. One of those, I think it's H2O that has, because it has to do with like the legality of the mask, like it's rights, so they couldn't use at one time in the filming they couldn't really use his mask, and they had to CGI the mask for like 2 seconds.
What are you serious?
It's kind of dumb.
What
you could Google that anyway. Back to the film.
Did not know that about that film. That's crazy. Just to...
it is. I do have a question for you. How many times have they like rebooted the series?
You'd be surprised. I believe if you count like Rob Zombies, and then they kind of did it.
That's one time.
I guess 3 times right now, right?
Yeah, it is actually the third time.
3 times.
So like, there's 3 different timelines to the series. One that's like connected to Halloween and H2O is one time. So what they did to this film, the new one, the 2018, they did the exact same thing with the 20th. The 20th year one, the H2O one, where they try to retcon everything, and then you have Rob Zombie's reboot. So they've done this 3 times about, I think. But yeah, speaking about this one though, I found the film enjoyable and frightening at times and quite fun. Like I think it hit like the right spots when it comes to like a Halloween film. I don't mean like the holiday, but like a film in the franchise. But some might even say it's too closely, like it hits too closely to like the original, from the Easter eggs to like the homage. David Gordon Green and company like crafted something like special, yet also it's familiar. I like I said, I revisited the original film, and there's a lot of scenes in this new one that is familiar to like the original film.
Mm-hmm. Are you saying like, this is like the Last Jedi of the Halloween series, Ben?
I mean, the Force Awakens.
Oh, Force Awakens. Gosh. Yes, yes. Last Jedi was the last film. Sorry.
Yeah. It is like, it's like the Last Jedi of Halloween films then, where people get upset because certain characters are not acting like how they should be.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, you could probably say it's The Last Jedi and The Force Awakens, but that's why I think what is the best thing about the film, coming from like the original film, I was preparing myself because I wanted to get like how atmospheric the first film is, and you know, reliving that. And I thought the new one subverts a lot of the atmosphere and the roles, especially like the victim. Which is Jamie Lee Curtis' character, to be like more dominant and controlling when it comes to her like purpose in this film. Like, she's no longer the victim, she's the one that you're actually afraid of.
Well, she's the predator, and Mike Myers is the
prey
now.
Yeah, and they subvert that. Like, if you watch the original film, there's certain scenes that calls back to that, to Mike Myers would be the one in the scene, but this time it's Jamie Lee Curtis. Yep.
So we discussed this on the more spoiled episode. Previous one, but
I think that's what I love about it. This also allows like the viewers to empathize with her and dealing with trauma. I think a lot of it is also echoing like the Me Too movement. It doesn't have to do with sexual abuse, but also has to deal with abuse itself and her trauma and kinds of like she gaining upper hand and you know being in charge of her own like life.
Yeah. Well, it's not even just trauma for Lori. It's like a generation too. Like
and how that
those three women.
Yep, how her trauma reinforces those reinforces like certain acts, and why her children and her children's children also reliving it. I think it's a cool little like detail they did, and then I think they did a lot of research about how trauma affects us not just in the moment, but also will affect us throughout
after
the
generations.
Years.
Yeah. Did you like the ending in the? I don't want to like. Spoiler.
The new one?
People skip the part from our main review in the last episode. But the ending in which there's a scene in there that I cheered because it's a good little thing they did. Like where a character says something and another character responds back
to yes, him. I like that scene.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you talking about like the very last scene when things are climaxing?
Yeah,
like,
yes. Yeah. Where you think one thing's going to happen, but they pull the rug under you and it's like, oh, this is an awesome scene. It reminds me, like I said, the scene in It 2017 with what's his name? Beep beep, Eddie or is it his name?
Yeah, I believe his name. I think I know what you're saying, and I think the viewers will be pleasantly surprised about that.
Mm-hmm. I literally clapped because I love scenes like that where.
Yeah, me too.
They changed the just on like on a whim. They changed the attitude of the character.
Yeah. So if you, I don't want to get into more details, but if you're a fan or even if you liked the Halloween, the first film, you won't be disappointed. It's basically like the original, but it's a bit amped up. The music is still wonderful. It's by John Carpenter and his son Cody Carpenter. They kind of modernize it, but also it's still kind of frightening to hear that song or the theme song of Mike Myers. But yeah, there's some characters here too that you care about that you don't want to die. And that's a great moment in like horror film.
Yep,
if you don't want those characters to die. So yeah, go listen. If you haven't listened, go listen to John and Audrey's impression about that one. And then, I'm looking forward to listening to that too. So, going to our main discussion. This week's main discussion is Netflix's original television series, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. So that is a clip from the trailer, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, created by Roberto Aguirre Sacasa. Is that correct?
That's all you, yeah.
Yeah. He is also one of the I think he's producer of Riverdale, so that's why he is the creator of Riverdale, I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
But the series, this television series, is based on the comic books Chilling Adventures of Sabrina by the Archie Comics, which is like a reboot of Sabrina the Teenage Witch, the original comics from Archie, and also like the nostalgic, I think, 90s version of the show is like, this is a reboot from that. So this is starring Kiernan Shipka, Ross Lynch, Lucy Davis, Chance Perdomo, and Michelle Gomez. For IMDb, here's the plot synopsis again. As her 16th birthday nears, Sabrina must choose between the witch world and her family and the human world of her friends. I'll start off first for this. I was looking forward to this just from the trailer itself, because I'm also a fan of Kiernan's Shipka since her role in Mad Men and as like Sally Draper. She was a daughter of Don Draper, played by John Hamm. So this doesn't surprise me about like her range and her ability as like an actor. But with Mad Men, she wasn't given enough like material to display those like talents of hers. And I believe this show allows her to do so. I think this is like a full disclosure before we even start like our initial impression that John and I only watched like a handful of episodes. I watched only two. John only watched the first one. Mm-hmm. So our impressions is basically on those two episodes, and John will be the first one. So, you know, if we're probably spoiling a lot, and if you're like want a overall impression, probably join us like in a couple of months until we're like done with it, and probably talk back about it too. But overall thoughts about the television show is surprisingly great. Like I wasn't surprised that like, oh yeah, this doesn't look good in the trailer, but like how unique it is. Like from the first trailer, my instincts was like, oh, a modern day Buffy the Vampire Slayer, with like modern day tones and its own modern take. So, but now upon watching a couple episodes, it does have its own identity, from like the set design to the character. It has a certain charm and innocence to it, especially because the character is also played by a teenager too. She is a little bit older than her character in the show. In real life, Kim and Shipka is 18, but in this show she's 16. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it's not that much. It's only a couple of years. But yeah, especially like her relationship with Harvey, it's like delightful to see that bond together. I think it's, you know, so like seeing that innocence, like they're actually acting like modern day 16-year-olds. It's nothing too sexualized. It's actually like kind of lovely to see them two together. And after the second episode, there's a certain conversation they have that's even more like charming and lovely to see, that you just want them two together. You do get the sense of where the story will go after the second episode, and you can see how they're capturing the Buffy fans with like that second episode and what's the show going to be about. And it's basically her and her, you know, dealing with high school stuff, like from bullying to even modern day like themes when it comes to like the feminist movement, and how they bring this in here into this, where her empowerment as a not only human but also a female, mm-hmm, character is cool to see. Like she's not disconnected to like the reality of this world too, which is nice to see that they created this character but also created in today's, like, you know, viewpoint. But yeah, John, what's your thoughts?
So I want to mention too that this is not based on like the sitcom, right? Like,
no, it's that more based on the new reboot of Archie.
Yeah, so the ongoing comic book called The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, that's also written by the same person. So I was like really surprised. Written by the same creator, the writer right now. So I thought that was really cool that he took his comic book and translated it into a TV series. And I believe there are probably 8 issues right now, but it's ongoing, but they take very long to do. So I don't know if it's finished or not. I've never read it. I know I've seen it on, I've been going through Comixology, seeing if it's going to be on sale, so I can buy it digitally. But I haven't seen it on Comixology, so yeah. So if you want to check out the comic book version, go ahead and check that out. But yeah, like I said, it's not based on the sitcom. So if any fans like, oh, they changed it up, it's too dark, I liked it when it's like campy and not political or whatnot, no, it's not even based on that entirely on that sitcom that what's her name? I forgot her name. Not Carissa, but whatever her name.
I forgot her name too.
Yeah. But my thoughts on the first episode, I really liked it. It is it's what I wanted and expected from it. A very dark version of this character that I've only seen in sitcom form. And I thought it was kind of cool that it's integrated in this like Riverdale, the TV show style. It still has that teen drama, but very different from the CW. Like I always mention this, but CW has this little gloss, the way they film stuff. It has this like, everything's very white out. Not by the characters, I'm not saying by white characters, but if you notice, even on a superhero show, it has this weird gloss. And this one, because Netflix, a different producer, different everything, it feels different. It feels darker. The tone is darker. The style of cinematography is darker. There are a lot of blur they use a lot in the show. That blur effect where the I don't know. Do you know the effect what I'm talking about? Where
I do, but it is sort of like it's blurry in the around the scenes.
Yes, yeah, and only the it's focused on a certain character or object. And I don't mind that. I like it and stuff. Is you get used to it. But I like you said. I like how they portray Sabrina and how she's very like feminist and supporting women. And especially the first episode, she's trying to fix a problem because no one's supporting the girls in the high school for some reason. Even the freaking principal. How everyone is like questioning the person, even though they you know they have a student has. Concerns about certain people on certain football players and stuff, and the principal doesn't take account of that or whatnot. It's just it's silly. The principal, I mean, but yeah, and I like the way they portray everyone right now. I totally forgot that Sabrina has a boyfriend named Harvey, like in the sitcom. So I was like, this guy.
Oh, really? He's like the quirky guy.
Yes, he's a quirky guy in the sitcom. So. I don't know how he is in the comic book, so but it's interesting they still this character's
here. He kind of plays the same way where he's like kind of naive but in love. Yep. And will do anything for her still.
Yeah. The only my like small gripe is the CGI. So the first episode they have this scarecrow character that looked good. They actually have like a character playing the scarecrow, but there are scenes in it where he's chasing Sabrina. And just really bad CGI. Like, I wish
they
just.
But it's only for like 3 seconds.
Yeah, yeah. I just wish they just had the guy in the costume running at her. Like, that's scary enough. The person in the scarecrow outfit running towards you is scary enough. You don't have to make it really, what you call it, fantasize. Like, the way they did it, it looks kind of like out. Way different from what the tone of the thing. But other than that, they actually have like. When they show like this demon character, it looks good. Like her familiar in the show, it looks really nice. Well, everyone knows him as Salem the cat. Basically, it's a familiar. Yeah, it's like little minor spoilers for the show, but yeah, overall, I'm gonna continue to watch it. I want to see what will be the main plot. I know you were telling me before the episode there's an actual greater plot to it, and it looks like your typical like I'm a half. I'm using probably like a Harry Potter term, but like I'm a half blood, basically, or half.
Well, muggle. There's a lot going on with that in this television show. Like, if you're familiar with Harry Potter, it's basically the same concept almost.
Yeah. Well, there is like this weird, oddly, they don't show it yet, but there's like a dark lord or person that doesn't
which
like
is
Sabrina.
Satan. Yeah.
So. You can tell it's going towards that. So, and she is, there's a term I know in storytelling. I'm not thinking about it, but it's that protagonist. Like he is the key to save us all. Like you see this in storytelling a lot. Like Harry Potter has that where Harry's the only one that can save us. And, or like the Matrix, Neo's the only one.
Like the savior trope.
Yeah. Yes. The savior trope. Yeah. So I don't know if they're going for that in the later on, but yeah, I'm interested.
Yeah, so that is The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, which is on Netflix now. You could binge watch it if you want. It's only like probably 10 episodes long.
It is, yeah.
But each episode is about an hour long, so you know, be productive and try to watch them timely. but yeah, that is that. And then, John, do you have anything else?
No, I think I recommend last episode, Try Guys, and yeah, just watch them, I guess.
I'm glad to be back. I don't know if this is going to be consistent.
With you, it won't be consistent with you, probably.
What was it?
With you, consistent with you. Like,
consistent
we probably, with me. My wife and I probably will just record episodes when we have time, but I know we've been missing some. And remember, next month it's Thanksgiving, so everything will be Thanksgiving theme on the.
So podcast. We're gonna go, and then December is more holiday again. Yep. So.
Name your top three Thanksgiving films, Ben.
Top three Thanksgiving films?
Not even film. Name comic books, music, anything. I want to see this. Top three.
top three right now on the top of my head. Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Wait, what? That's
not yeah. People don't know that it didn't take place in Thanksgiving, but I'm thankful that it exists. I can't think of a Thanksgiving. There's not a lot of Thanksgiving theme films, I think.
Addams Family? Does that count? Values? The one where Wednesday dressed up like Indian like Native American, sorry.
Yeah.
But she doesn't like the whole theme of Thanksgiving. That's a really good scene in that movie.
Yeah. That's kind of cool. I can't think of anything at the moment, but we'll see by next month.
Yes.
But yeah, so that is it for the episode. Where can they find you online?
At the most organized Twitter feed of 2018 at Abaya Arts.
They can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Benjamin Abaya. You can find all of us and all our content on TFA Now on Twitter and Facebook at The Freaking Awesome. You can find all the episodes on thefreakingawesome.com. You can contact us at contacts. I think we corrected this already, right? Is it contacts
at
thefreakingawesome.com?
Yes.
I think we just realized that wasn't a real email address.
No.
A month ago. Now it is, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I'm checking it now, and there are no emails in there.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. So you can change that right now at contacts@thefreakingawesome.com. Mm-hmm. I believe that's it. Thank you again for listening. I'm Benjamin Abaya.
I'm John Abaya.
And this has been the Freaking Awesome Podcast.